Thank you, Brother Joseph, for leading us in those beautiful songs and worship. If that didn't charge your spiritual battery, something's wrong. Those beautiful, powerful words. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing streams do flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was so beautiful. Such a beautiful worship service. I greet you on this blessed Lord's Day. This is our Lord's Day. Let's give him the best we got. A blessed day. I want to take a few minutes here to give the church here my appreciation for the week. I came here from a very pressed and busy schedule, and that little trailer back there was a real godsend. It was special. And thank you for all those who prayed for us and for me and Dale and my family and for the meetings. I pray that eternity will reveal what came out of these meetings here this week. So I'm very thankful. I go home very blessed and filled, and the work's back there waiting for me when I come home. So you continue to pray for me. It's there. It didn't go away. But I trust I won't be the same. It's a blessed day. Also, just 36 years ago, my wife and I joined hands today. So my wife just said, you know, she don't know of a place she'd rather be than a place like this on our anniversary. It's nice to get away and spend some time alone, and we hope to do that sometime. But we're blessed. We're blessed to be here in the presence of God and with his people. I hope that touches your heart as well. The truth we sang, the fact that you're here is no little thing this morning. It's no little thing. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, the Lord's Day. First day of the week. And God, we pray for your blessing upon this gathering as it already has been and is and will continue to be, I believe, Father. Oh God, we pray that I can stay out of the way and stay small enough for you to receive glory from the word this morning, Lord, that I would not distract in any way, Lord. God, minister to our hearts and our souls. Oh God, as we journey along in life towards our eternal home, which we look forward to. So give us something this morning, Lord, that we could be strengthened and empowered to make it through to the end. Perhaps there's some people here that are struggling and not sure they're going to make it. Lord, I pray you just speak to their hearts today at this crucial point in time in their lives. Lord, time is never wasted with you, Lord. When you're on the scene, God, you don't waste things. You have divine appointments for all of us, Lord. And I pray today would be another one of those divine appointments for our souls, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just revel in the beauty of these songs this morning, Lord. Thank you so much. You have given us so much already, Lord, this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you. Just feed your sheep, feed your lambs now, Lord, we pray. In the worthy name of Jesus, amen. for starters here, I'd like to just take us back in history to an event that happened that forever changed time on earth and in heaven. There was a day when an angel rose up in heaven, as we read in his story, and an endeavor to touch God's glory. And immediately, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Not sure if I'm quoting that all exactly right, but Satan rose up in rebellion, and God couldn't stand it for a moment. Cast him out of heaven, as the scripture implies there. And this fallen angel, this rebellious angel, showed up there in the beautiful Garden of Eden, as you well know, and deceived our first parents. Deceived Eve. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. But God had told them, "In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall die." And that was true. Satan deceived, enticed, and deceived Eve there, and she took of the fruit, and they began to die at that very moment. And there was a curse come upon the earth at that point, like none ever. God barred them out of the garden with a flaming sword, and man began to experience death and sorrow and labor and sweat. That was a terrible thing. And we see from that rebellion is a terrible thing with God. D.L. Moody said, he said, "If I would come to realize that I have one drop of rebellious blood in me, I wouldn't go to sleep till I let it out." He said, "If I would come to realize that I have one hair of rebellion in me, I would pull it out before I would go to sleep." Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft in the eyes of God. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it this morning that just because rebellion doesn't receive immediate consequences in our day, it's not an affront to the presence of God. He sees it. God is merciful, but he hates it as much as he did when Satan rose up in heaven. And he had to bar his dear creation out of his presence for a long time, as it were. 4,000 years God waited and dealt with his people with types and shadows of that which was to come. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son on the earth about 2,000 years ago. And there was hope again. Praise God. The title of my message this morning is, I'm supposed to speak on heaven, and I will, but we'll get there eventually. Blessed Hope is the title of the message. The consequences of Satan's awful rebellion and Adam and Eve's choice to disobey God, we are still seeing today very clearly. Just let me give you a few accounts, which there's so many. We have the great deluge back in Noah's day. God was so bad, God destroyed every living thing except Noah in the boat. And many, many terrible catastrophes and calamities have come upon the face of the earth and mankind ever since in numerous ways. And the things that are upon us in this year alone, the pandemic, the world over. Our state in Iowa has suffered what I heard, the worst costly financial storm ever in the history of the state this year. The Dreco, or the inland hurricane close by us, just north of us, they clocked winds that day of 130 miles an hour. There were brand new grain bins collapsed and harvester silos imploded. Just unbelievable force. And what makes it so bad, it's so widespread. You drive there, it's about an hour north of us, you drive there and it's just damaged. Not just like a tornado, a mile wide and 3 miles long, but this is over half the state, a wide section, over half the length of the state, more or less. At that same time this summer, we had that storm. There were storm chasers that came up there to help us poor Iowans out. While they were there, Texas, the Hurricane Laura hit Texas. They turned around and headed home to help there. Some state, thankfully, there's more work there than ever the Iowans can do. While that was going, we had that horrific Oregon fire out in the West Coast. Burned thousands of buildings and thousands of acres. And that's just scratching the surface of the calamities that are upon the face of the earth. And it's a picture of what Romans 8 says, and you don't need to turn there, but Romans 8 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan." Imagine, we have a foretaste of heaven. We got a connection to heaven. We got something to hang on to. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. And yet, it's about all we can endure. We groan. Amen, Brother Dan? We groan. We groan. Imagine sailing the sea without Christ. Imagine sailing the sea without life, without the Lord. Without being a Christian. We have received the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. I believe I remember Brother Mo saying years ago, these bodies, they are weights to our spirit. They hold us down. Our spirits wants to fly and go, but we're in these bodies and we're waiting for the redemption of these, our bodies. I think this verse is speaking of what I just described this morning. Destruction and decay and change, suffering and pain and travail and death. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, if you will, for a short reading. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And that's so vital for all of us to experience that. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment in comparison to eternity, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this body, we have a building of God, hallelujah, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Those are beautiful words. Praise God. Make sure you have one reserved up there for you. Make sure you have one reserved up there for you. The alternative is not a good one. Did you hear me? Make sure you have reserved in you, for you in heaven, a home. The alternative is not a good one. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon from our house, clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Hallelujah. What a description. Immortality swallowing up mortality. Mortality being swallowed up of life. Blessed hope. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And I know we have a foretaste of that, but this, my friends, will be the full course meal. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't doubt that. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Prepared as a bride for her husband. Oh, I remember 36 years ago. When my girlfriend became my wife, my bride, she was so beautiful that day, and she's so beautiful today to me. Thank God. And I don't know, I can't describe everything about this, but I can say this. It's going to be good. It's going to be very good. All of us here that have tasted the beauty of marriage and the best of marriage, if you will, all of us have had some of the other. None of us are perfect, but that will pale in this wedding. It would just manifold, manyfold more and more and deeper into the very presence of God. God himself, and God shall wipe away all tears. This is part of that awful rebellion. It's the last dregs of it. It's the last evidence of it. That awful, ugly rebellion that always brings destruction, always brings death. Rebellion always shortchanges people. It's never what it looks like on the surface. Here it's going to be wiped away, every trace of it. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Hallelujah. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Praise God. For the former things are passed away. And there sat upon the throne, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. It's done. It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. What a beautiful promise. What a blessed hope. What a blessed hope. Paul said, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It will be such a glorious day. Oh, what a blessed hope. Let's consider for a moment here the basis this morning here, the basis, the ground of our hope. I mean, we looked at some of these promises, but really, what is the foundation? What is the basis of the Christian's hope? What is it that we need? What is it that is paramount? What is it that is the most important thing? What is it that will keep our house from falling in the storm? What is it? What is the foundation? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Point number 1, what is the basis? What is the ground of our hope? This hope that I'm talking about. This is not some humanly devised fable. This is reality, my friends. And what is it? You need to know. Everyone needs to know. Everyone needs to have this in their experience. In reality. Colossians 1. We'll begin reading. We'll just pick out a few verses for the sake of time here. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Speaking of Christ here, how he came and he redeemed us by his own body through his own blood. And he redeemed us to the extent that he can present us to God holy and unblameable. But it gets a little better. Jump down to verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches. I want it verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What is this mystery? What is this key? What is this, what we need to ground this hope on? It is found in verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Nothing less will do. You and I need Christ in us, the hope of glory. We need to have him in us to the extent that we can taste him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the basis. That is the foundation of our hope. Not just a mental understanding, but an experiential experience and relationship and reality that he is to us. Speaking to us from his word. The living word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is so paramount for this blessed hope. Blessed hope. This is where it starts. Number 2. What is it that we're hoping for? Titus, turn back to Titus. Titus 1. What is it that we're hoping for? Titus 1. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Oh, hallelujah. Eternal life. Life world without end. That's what our hope is this morning. That's what we hope for. That's what we look forward to. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is what we're hoping and looking forward to, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs, recipients, according to the hope of eternal life. Our hope is in life eternal, and that's where our affections are, and that's where our heart's attention is. And someone illustrated it like this. It should be like a rubber band that is fastened up in eternity. And yes, we need to go and work. We need to do other things. But whenever that is over, we automatically come back here, which just pulls us back. That's where our hope is. Or is it the other way around? Is your things attached to the things down here, and you come to church and you pull back? It should be the other way around. Our hope should be in heaven. Number three, what does this hope offer to us, to the believer now? Oh, praise God. You don't have to turn to this one, but in Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19, it says, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. There's that rubber band, if you will. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This hope offers us an anchor of the soul. My friend, is your soul angered? It can be. This is this blessed hope that we sing and talk and get all excited about. Amen, brothers and sisters? That's a blessed hope that we have. It's real. Number four. What effect does this hope have on the believer here? We already touched on that. But this hope affects us here. Turn to 1 John 3. What effect does this hope have? 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, stop and think about this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We look through a glass darkly. We know it's going to be good. We know it's going to be out of this world, but we don't know it all yet. We don't know. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And here's the effect that this hope has in every true believer. Are you with me? Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. even as he is pure. Like Dale said the other day, you can't commit sin and have this living hope vibrant and alive in you. You just can't do it. You got to go away from this hope if you want to sin. Right? You got to go out of the presence of God if you want to be a child and sin and just go on your merry way. This hope has an effect on the believer here and now. Others may, maybe. I may not. Right? I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't say that. I can't act like that. I can't conduct myself like that. I have a hope. And it's too, first of all, too precious to spurn and to mar and to be cloud. It's too precious. We all know that. You know, through the process of life, we make a mistake and instantly we have a clouded conscience. We say things we shouldn't say, and you know, I did this many times in my life, had to go back and make things right. And oh, then the sun shines again. Amen. And then heaven is open. Then it's clear. That is this hope we have. It purifies us. That's the Christian life, my friend. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There it is. Jesus said, this is, you know, we have this hope and we know God's word. And here's another one. Jesus, I think it was the words of Jesus. I have it written down in my Bible here in Revelation 22. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That's the final judgment. No changing that anymore. Jesus said that. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's beautiful. You ponder that. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. It's a blessed hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Rejoicing in hope, Romans 12:12 says. Now in closing, I'm going to bring us right to the door of heaven. I can't take you in, but we're going to go there. Heaven at last. On the jasper threshold standing, like a pilgrim safely landing, see the strange bright scenes expanding. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. What a city, what a glory, far beyond the fairest story of the ages old and hoary. Ah, 'tis heaven. Christ himself, the living splendor. Christ, the sunshine, mild and tender. Praises to the Lamb we render. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. Think with me of stepping on the shore and finding out it's heaven. Think with me of taking hold of a hand and finding out it's God's hand. Think with me of breathing a new air and finding out it's celestial. Think of me of feeling invigorated and finding its immortality. Think with me of passing from storm and tempest to an unbroken calm, and looking up and finding it home, home. This is how God intended it to be in the beginning. Rebellion ruined it. Don't doubt it. And rebellion will ruin every heavenly element in your life if you let it. Last verse. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. God bless you. Let's stay faithful. Pray for me. Let's pray for each other. We're not home yet. That old deceiver has come down upon the earth with great wrath. And he hates meetings like this. And he hates the people of God. We're not home yet. Oh, let's pray for each other. Let's be faithful. And we'll find it home. God bless you, every one of you.